Now, friends, it's good to see you tonight, and I want you to pay very close attention tonight as to what the Lord wants to say to us this evening. And I'll tell you why. Because there's so many people tonight who are depending upon false illusions that everything's going to be all right when the day. I wonder, are you one of them people tonight? You're holding on to some illusion that, now when life's over, I'll be all right. Do you know, there's so many people, and they believe with all their heart that they're going to heaven. I was one of them people. Right up until about two nights before I was saved, I believed I was going to heaven. I was a church-going person. I sang in the choir. I was in the Orange Order. I was a Protestant. And if I was to die, I know I believed I was going to heaven. And there's a lot of people tonight holding on to these false illusions that they're going to heaven. Wonder, are you one of them people tonight? Wonder, are you one of them people? Well, I want you to listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Never you mind what I say, you listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Because the Apostle Peter said this to the Lord Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And I want you to listen to very carefully as to what the Lord Jesus says is our only hope for heaven. And this is what the Lord Jesus says, and I want you to turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, please. Because who in this meeting tonight would like to say that the Lord Jesus didn't speak the truth? I don't think there would be any person in this meeting tonight that would stand up and say that the Lord Jesus spoke lies. And I don't think there'll be anybody in this meeting tonight who would argue with the Lord Jesus as to what he says. So I think we want to take a wee moment just to listen to what the Lord Jesus says. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 2, just for a wee introduction, we read this, and Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let me repeat that. The Lord Jesus says, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want you to notice what the Lord Jesus didn't say. The Lord Jesus didn't say, except you go to church. The Lord Jesus didn't say, except you go to missions. The Lord Jesus didn't say, except you be christened. The Lord Jesus didn't say, except you be confirmed. The Lord Jesus didn't say, except you live an upright life. For many of you, that's what a lot of people's holding on to. They're holding on to, well, I live an upright life. I was christened when I was a baby. I was confirmed at 13. I live a good life. I go to my church. I pay my money into the church. And they believe they're going to heaven. They believe that that's going to get them there. Well, the Lord Jesus says it's not going to get you there. The Lord Jesus says, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Except ye be converted. I want you to concentrate on that word tonight. Converted. Put christening out of your head. Put confirmation out of your head. Let's listen to the Lord Jesus. Except ye be converted. Except you be converted. You know, friend, when you read through your Bible, when you read through the Word of God, You'll come across dozens and dozens and dozens of conversions. You'll come across dozens and dozens of people who got converted. And what you'll find, you'll not get two conversions the same. Not two. You'll find in the Bible there was many people, a number of people who were saved or converted suddenly. Remember the Philippian jailer? 1 minute to midnight, that man had no time nor thought for God. 1 minute to midnight, that man had no care for his own soul. 1 minute to midnight, that man was as dark as hell itself. But one minute after midnight, he goes into Paul and Silas on his knees trembling and says, "What must I do to be saved?" And that was a man who was converted suddenly. You remember Saul of Tarsus on the road down the Damascus Road, breathing out threatenings and slaughters to the church of God, arresting Christians. And as he was going down the road, breathing out slaughterings against God's people, suddenly the Lord appeared. And suddenly he was on the ground. And suddenly he cries out, "What must I do with thee, Lord Jesus?" And friend, he was converted suddenly. And then there are those tonight who are converted slowly. You remember the dying thief? He was converted right in the very edge of hell. Right in the very brink of death. Right at the very end of his life. He was converted. When he turned to the Lord Jesus, he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the Lord gave him a promise, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And that man was converted slowly. There's a lot of people like him. I remember my cousin dying. He was never a church goer at all. But mind you, when he knew death was coming, there's a whole lot of boys, you know, they're all hard against the gospel. But when death comes and the breathing gets tight and the pain starts to come, oh, then they'll run for the minister. Call the minister. And my cousin was the same. He says, "I'm dying and I'm going out." And he says, "I don't know where I'm going till I need to be saved. I need to be prepared." And I remember the day he got saved. Some people get saved young, like Samuel in the temple. When Samuel was young, he was converted. Some get converted through sorrow. Do you remember Isaiah? The great prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." And sometimes people get converted through sorrow. Not the first time a man or a woman came to Christ when a coffin came through their home. I could take you to a home tonight outside Warringstown. A man is hard. A man who is antagonistic to the gospel. And when the undertaker was wheeling the coffin of his saved brother up the hallway, he got under conviction of sin and was converted. And his testimony tonight would be this: "God had to bring a coffin through my door to break me down." Now listen, unsaved friend, what will God have to bring through your door to really get you where he wants you? Because God does terrible things to get you to listen. God, friend, can do terrible things to try and stop you. And then there's others who were saved through a sermon like Lydia. Converted. But we're going to look at one conversion tonight. And it's the conversion of the most well-known man in the Old Testament. His name was King David. And in the Old Testament book of Psalms, David gives his testimony. And I want you to turn to Psalm 34, because tonight we're going to hear how David was gloriously converted. Because David has a wonderful testimony tonight. Now let's take a wee look at Psalm 34. Now here's how David was converted. And how David was converted, sir, and listen, love, this is how you need to be converted. This is how everybody's converted. Psalm 34, verse number 4. Now, how was David converted? Now, you listen to what David says. He says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Now, that's how David was converted. Now, how was David converted? David was converted when he came as a seeking sinner. That's how anybody's converted. He came as a seeking sinner. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. You'll come as a seeking sinner. Don't you come as a seeking Baptist. Don't you come as a seeking Protestant. You have to come as a seeking sinner. A sinner. Why do you go to the dentist? You, when you know you have the toothache. Do you know something? When I was young, we had a dentist knocking a cloy. And he should have been working for Tommy McCann. He should have been working for Tommy McCann. See, Tommy McCann was a local butcher. And we had this dentist, and I can tell you, you would have been half dead before you went to him. Unbelievable. And like there was no gentleness with him. And he used to come with a needle about that length. That's right. And a bend on it. And every time he put it into your mouth, it was like getting an electric shock right up through your head. Deadly. And then, if there was one that had to come out, he came with a vice grips or pliers, I don't know what it was, and he would have pulled the head really clean off you. Desperate. The way assistant always had to hold your head when he was going at you. But you were in bad shape when you went to him, believe you me. But you know, friend, that's how you must come. That's how you be converted. You come as a seeking sinner, knowing that you're lost, knowing that you're a sinner, knowing you're on the road to hell, knowing that you need mercy, knowing you need forgiveness, knowing you need Christ. He comes as a seeking sinner. You know what's wrong with people today? They treat God as a blessing machine. Oh, they'll come and they'll seek the Lord. Lord, I'll tell you what I need. I need my wee granny to be made well. She's sick. And Lord, I'm seeking you because my wee child's not well. Lord, I'm coming. And some young fellow will go to the Lord. Lord, you know, I want these exams. I want this cure. Listen, that's no way to come to the Lord. And then you get other people coming to the Lord. Lord, I need to be saved, but can I still smoke? Lord, I want to come and get saved, but I love the dances and the discos. Lord, I want to get saved, but man, you're like a wee dribble. You'll not get saved like that. You'll have to come as a seeking sinner in total, utter repentance of sin. Don't you tell me that you can get saved and live whatever way you like. Don't you try and tell me tonight you can get saved and hold on to your sin. Don't tell me you can get saved. I remember standing up in another church one night, and I says, people will tell you, as long as you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Let me tell you, you can call upon the Lord and not be saved. You can call upon the Lord from now to doomsday and not be saved. You know why? Twice in Luke 13, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Don't tell me you can get saved tonight without repentance, for you can't. Repentance is a missing word in gospel preaching today. You must come as a seeking sinner. You must come as a lost soul. You must come tonight knowing that you're a sinner, confessing you're a sinner. Oh, why? I sought the Lord, he said. I sought the Lord. My friend, do you realize you need to seek the Lord tonight? Do you realize you're a lost sinner? You know what the Lord Jesus said? Oh, we'll stick with the Lord Jesus tonight. He that believeth not is condemned already. Friend, you're a condemned sinner tonight. You're condemned. And the first step in being converted, you come as a seeking sinner. You come by saying goodbye to the world. You come by saying goodbye to the sin. You come by saying goodbye to the drink. You come by saying goodbye to the cigarettes. You're coming, you have to come and say goodbye to the past. And you just say, just as I am, thou wilt receive. You must come as a seeking sinner. You listen to David. David says this, I sought the Lord, listen to this bit, and he heard me. You know what you find? You'll find that a seeking sinner will always find a sympathetic Savior. And it doesn't matter how broken you are. Doesn't matter how sinful you are. Doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how upright you are. If you come seeking the Lord as a lost, hell-deserving sinner, you'll find him to be a sympathetic Savior. I sought the Lord, David said. And he heard me. The Lord Jesus will never turn a seeking sinner away. Those in great need. Do you remember the poor leper in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8? He was outside the city. He was dying alone. He was the man tonight. He was the man tonight that no man would have touched with a barge pole. But the Lord met him. And the Lord touched him. And the Lord had pity upon him. And the Lord made him whole. The Lord always has sympathy. And he's always sympathetic to those who seek him in their sin. You come to the Lord Jesus tonight and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I'm telling you, you'll have his ear tonight. The dying thief, the scoundrel of society, when he called on the Lord that day at the very brink of death, the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him. Do you remember the day when they brought the woman who was taken in adultery, taken in the very act, they fired her down at his very feet. And they said, well, according to the law, she should be stoned. What did the Lord Jesus say? Which of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone at her? Come on now. Whoever's here without this first sin, whoever's here without sin, you cast the first stone. Away you go, line up there. Not one of them could line up. Why? Well, no way. Because every one of them soon discovered they were sinner. Oh, friend, have you discovered tonight you're a sinner? Have you discovered tonight that you're lost? But have you discovered tonight that he is sympathetic? Have you discovered tonight that he loves you? There was a man nailing a sign up on a post one day, and the sign said, pups for sale. And as he was nailing this sign up on this post, And as he was driving the nails through, he felt a tug at the tail of his coat. He turns round, and this wee boy was standing. Just a wee lad. He says, "Sir, I would like to buy you one of your pups." And he took out just a few cents. The farmer turned round and said to him, "Ah, son, these are champion pups. They'll be over $200 if you want to buy one." He says, "Mister, I don't have enough." "But can I see them?" "Of course." And you call the mummy dog Dolly. And the farmer just gave a bit of a whistle. "Dolly, come on, girl. Come on over here to see you." And she come running out, and these wee six bundles of fluff come running out after her. And the wee lad was amazed. And then he noticed, looking over where the wee house where the dog and the pups come out of, there was a bit of movement, and there was another wee ball of fluff, but it couldn't run. Could barely walk. And it staggered its way over and its wee legs over to where the rest of them were. He says, "Sir, I'll buy this wee one here." And the farmer says, "You don't want that one. Sure, look, it's broken. It'll never walk properly. It won't be able to run. You won't be able to play with it." And the wee boy stood back and he rolled up his trouser legs. And there he himself was standing in two metal calipers. His legs was in metal calipers. He says, "But sir, that wee puppy needs somebody who understands its pain. And who understands its brokenness. Who understands its condition. Look," he says, "I can't walk properly. I will never run. Please, sir, let me have him." And the wee boy was given the broken pup. And that wee broken pup was cared for the 12 years of its life that it lived. It was loved and cared for. Jesus tonight wants to take care of broken sinners. And he wants to take care of you tonight. He understands your life. Nobody more understands what sin can do in a life. And the Lord wants to take you home. And he wants you to take him home tonight. Because he understands your pain. He understands the mess sin can leave you in. Tonight he wants you. He knows. He understands. He feels. And I want you to notice the third thing about this conversion. You see, David came as the way you must come tonight. He came as a seeking sinner. And he found a sympathetic Savior. And there's something else he received. He received from the Savior a satisfying salvation. You know why? Because we read, "Delivered me from all my fear." There's one tonight who can deliver you from all your fears. Do you know there's three great fears every man and woman has? They don't like to admit it, but there's three fears you have tonight. One is death and dying. See, if you're not saved tonight, I can guarantee you, you can tell me what you want tonight. You're afraid of death and dying. He can deliver you from the fear of death and dying tonight. He can deliver you from the fear of meeting God. I don't care who a man is, there's a fear of meeting God at the end of the day. I have no fear of death and dying, because I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. At the river I will see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. And I won't have that fear of meeting God, because the Lord Jesus is going to present me faultless before the throne. The third thing is eternity itself. I had a big man one day come into my place of employment, and we're talking about how quick life goes. And I got a 5 meter tape out, and I stretched her out till 75 inches, and I put the stopper on her. So I tell me this, boss, put your finger on the inch that your age is now. He was 69. Says I, in reality, take a look from where you began and take a look at what you've left if you get 75. He says it's terrible, isn't it? But this is what he did. He says, it's this that scares me. Says I, what's this? After this, he says, this is what scares me. What lies beyond. Says I, would you have a fear, boss? Says I, that's one thing I fear, he says. Say, you don't need to fear it. He says, there's one who can take away those fears, and that's the Lord Jesus. And I give him a gospel tract, because my boss and two or three others happen to walk in. And I said, enough. Tonight, pull you out the measuring tape. Give yourself 75, mind you, you mightn't see the 75. The years of a man are 80 years and 10. And put you your finger on the inch as to what your age is. And take a wee look and see how far you've come and how far you've left. I'm telling you, it's not long. But do you see, if you were to get converted tonight, if you were to get converted, the Lord Jesus takes all these fears away and he puts the blessed peace within. There's a wee man from our part of the country called Ernie Colwell. And Ernie was a character. We used to have characters in our days. Now there's no characters about anywhere. Somebody says to me the other day, well, you're the character now. And he was a real character. But Ernie was a well-saved Presbyterian. He went to Upper Clennanees Presbyterian Church, if you know where that is. But Ernie was in hospital. And when he was in hospital, he wasn't well. And he deteriorated rapidly. One night the nurse was doing her rounds, and She heard this singing coming from a side ward. Singing. And she heard this sound. O God of Bethel, by whose hand... You didn't think I could sing. Thy people still are fed. And she went in. Who was it? Ernie. And she says, Ernie, look at the time it is. You should be sleeping. You're going down for tests tomorrow. And what are you singing for anyway? Oh, he says, I'll not be getting no test tomorrow. She says, what do you mean? He says, tomorrow I'll be in heaven's choir and I'm giving myself a wee tune up before I go. And she tucked the bed clothes round and says, and fixed his pillow and all. You're comfortable, Ernie? Oh, aye, comfortable. She closed the door, headed back to the nurse's station. Off he went again. O God of Bethel, by whose hand. Actually says he'll be all right. She went in to see him at 6 o'clock the morning before she went off duty, and she went in. Ernie kept to his word. Ernie went home. Ernie was in heaven's choir in the morning. You see, this is how the converted can die tonight. Every one of us that is saved by grace and redeemed by precious blood, when it comes to death and dying, meeting God in eternity, what can we say to these things? If the Lord is for us, who can be against us? And tonight, the one who died on Calvary's cross for your sins and for my sins, so that our sins could be forgiven, and through the shedding of his blood that the redemption price was paid. And because of an empty tomb tonight, the tomb's empty, remember, he's risen. The Lord Jesus can do for you tonight what he did for David. Will you seek the Lord tonight? If you seek the Lord, you'll find him a sympathetic Savior. And he'll send you home from Belief Baptist tonight, rejoicing. The night I was saved on the 26th of August, 1985. In St. James's Parish Church of Ireland on the main street yonder in Auchinlechloy. We lived at the bottom of the hill yonder. I don't know whether I walked home, flew home, or floated home. It was amazing the night I got saved. You know, the Lord Jesus doesn't just satisfy. A save, he satisfies. I can't have Christians with long faces. We're the salt of the earth. Believer, you should be making sure you're living your life and you have a smile in your face to make other people crave what you and me have got tonight. But listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Are you listening? Except ye be converted. And come with childlike faith, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. If there's no repentance and no conversion, there's no heaven. Let's burn a word of prayer. Now let's take a wee moment. Now this mission's coming to an end very soon. And I'm praying hard these days that the Lord's given me the right messages to finish the mission with. I've been praying for his message every night. But on the final nights, I have to seek the Lord for His messages. And tonight, this was one of them. Tonight, you're left with no excuse. I've made it plain and simple by bringing you to the lips of the Lord Jesus and letting Him telling you yourself what you've got to do. Friend, I have told you tonight what the Lord has put in my heart. But the choice is yours. We're praying for you. We've been praying for you before this mission has started. Because we see the danger you're in. Will you come to Christ tonight? And no more old fooling around. Come tonight. Before it's too late. Say to me at the door, George, I would love a wee word with you. Do that. I'd love to talk to you. But don't go home. Let us help you.